Shavua Tov, tonight's daf in Mesechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Ches. And let me just bring us up to date a little bit, because we're in the middle of one of these summary sugyas that is going through. As you recall, every single one of these psukim that we've had that have to do with multiple chiyuvim and or places where payment may influence a chiyuv. So we've gone through quite a few of the psukim. We started in the Mishnah with Lo Ye'ason Anoshi Anesh, which we asked, why isn't that the same as telling me Gedei Rishato, Risha Achat? So we said, okay, the first approach we took is that Lo Ye'ason is coming to tell me the din of Kamlei B'Nerab Aminei with Misa, and Gedei Rishato is coming to tell me that you cannot have a Chiyav of Malkut and Momon, according to Rabbi Meir. Since you can have a chiyav of Malkut and Mamon, Rabbi Meir uses the Kedei Rishato to tell me that you're putter from Malkus in cases of Misa. So that there's a Malkus of Misa also needs its own separate pasuk, and he made it Tzrichasa. Then we had Lo Tikhu Kofer Lenefesh Rotzeach, and Lo Tikhu Kofer Lanus El Yir Mekrato. So that we ended up saying that does not have anything to do with pottering one chiyav with another. It has to tell me that you cannot utilize tashlumim to potter one of the chiyuvim, either of Mesas Bezdin or of Golis. Okay. Then we went on to Vlaaretz lo yechupar ki im bedam shofcho. What was that all about that appeared by Egla Rufa? So that, we said, was coming to tell us that even though over there is a kapara, namely the Egla Arufa itself is a kapara, nonetheless, if we find the horeg, then the kapara does not apply, and we have to kill the horeg. So then what is the point of adding after that, v'atate va'er dam hanaki? What is that? That, we said, is a side point. That is in order to compare the Kiyuve Misa of Sayev to Egla Rufa to tell me that you need to use the sword on the neck. Okay, then what about the Pasuk of Kol Chere Min Adam Lo Yipadeh? And what do we do with that? We already know this, right? No, that's talking about, according to the Tanakama, literally Kol Chere Min Adam. It doesn't mean when there's a Kiyuve Misa Pesden. It means that if somebody would say the Erech of an individual who is a cherem, then the lo yipadeh, there's no chiyav on the erechin. Now, the problem that we had was that according to Rabbi Hanania ben Akavya, the din is, in fact, that he does have to pay the erechin, in which case he can't possibly learn that the pasuk is coming to tell him a p'tur from erechin. And that's where we started getting a little bit into a complex situation, which is where we find ourselves now. So what we started to say was that actually, according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, we would use this to tell me the whole complicated problem of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, which is that he's worried about the fact that the Torah said, now this, of course, is the one pasuk that seems to go counter to all of the ideas that we just had for this pasukim, namely that the Torah itself says, Gam ba'alav yumat, in the case of the killing of a shor, that is a muad of an adam. And then it goes right and says, imko for yushatalav, which means that he can pay money in order to become potter from misa. Now, that was a misa bidei shamai. So now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka wants to know, so if that's the case, where do we know that that isn't true on a chiyav misa bidei adam? So, but Pashtas, he just repeated something we already know, and he said that I know from this pasuk, Kol Cherem Min HaAdam Lo Yipadeh. So, but what about, asks the Gemara, now, well, wait a second, I mean, we already knew that, right? I mean, it said Lo Tikukof and all that. So he says, well, maybe we need two pasukim. Maybe we need a pasuk to tell me first that there's a difference between Mitot Chamurot, where we don't have a chiyav of Echatas, because there's no chorus that's mentioned. There's only the chiyav of Misa. So maybe over there, that's where you can't have anything because there's no kapara. There's not even a chatas b'shogeg. And what about where there is a chatas b'shogeg? So that I know from kol cheret. So that's an addition. But the Gemara says, but one moment. But I thought we had lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotseach, and rotseach dafke is a place where you do have a kapora b'shogeg. Namely, you have the din of ore miklat. So that means that the original pasuk that we brought should have been sufficient to cover all of the cases, even of Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So we're still stuck with two psukim that seem to be saying the same thing. One of them is talking about the kol cherem asher yochoram and adam lo yipadeh, which Rabbi Yishmael says is talking about where there's a chiyav misa, and it's telling me lo yipadeh, you can't buy your way out of it. And the other was the loti kuko for lenefesh rotzeach, which is exactly the same thing. So the last thing that we learned, I think it's probably kedai for us to start right here at that point, which is the last words on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, namely, Omar Rami Bar Chama, we still need both psukim. Why? Because it's chsalka date chamina. Remember that we have a difference between, when it comes to shogeg, between whether it's derech aliyah or derech yirida. Now, the whole point over here is that we were trying to say that, well, there's no point in telling me I need a pasuk to tell me in cases of a misa that has kapora, because a rotzeach is a misa that has kapora, namely, or a miklat. No, not every misa. That's the point. Not every misa of a rotzeach has a kapora with an or a miklat. How about if he kills in a case of derech aliyah? Well, remember that we learned that only derech yirida is a chayev in golos. But otherwise, derech aliyah, there's no golos. Therefore, lo nitna shigigato le kapara. So there, I understand that lo tikku kofra. But what if you killed derech yirida? So there, nitna shigigato le kapara. So I would have thought that maybe the pasuk that says lo tikku kofra nefesh rotzeach was only referring to cases where there would be no kapara b'shogeg. But what about if you murdered a guy derech yirida, where the equivalent case, if it was done b'shogeg, there would have been a kapara? Maybe he can actually pay and also get out of the chiev of misa v'niftere. Maybe that's the chiddush kamash malan. To which Rava said no, because remember early on we had the Tana de Vechizkiah. This is all a quick review. Early on we had the Tana de Vechizkiah that said that from the hekesh of makeh adam to makeh behima, we already learned out that there's never a distinction between any sort of difference that would make to the ritzicha, whether it was b'shogeg, whether it was b'mezid, whether it was derech aliyah, whether it was derech yirida. That was b'feirish the whole point of makeh adam, makeh behima. Just like makeh behima lo chilakta bo ben shogeg l'mezid ben mitkaven l'she'eno mitkaven ben derech yirida l'derech aliyah. Note that last part, particularly l'potro b'momon ala l'chayvo mamon. Af makeh adam lo tachalok bo ben shogeg l'mezid ben mitkaven l'she'eno mitkaven ben derech yirida l'derech aliyah l'chayvo mamon. You don't think that any of these cases would be amenable to paying. All of them are the same. L'potro mamon. So by the same token, we would apply it to the case that you just brought. In the case of Ritzicha b'mezid, where you're saying it has an equivalence to a Ritzicha b'shogeg, and maybe over there there would no. The Torah specifically says, make no distinctions, even in terms of being able to buy your way out. Okay, so then what is the need for this extra pasuk that we have over here of kol cherem min ha'adam? Unless, of course, you go according to the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama said that that is just needed to potter you from paying for a neder that you make to pay such a person's erech. The problem was, according to Rav Chananya ben Akavya. So we still have the problem. It's because sarka da chamino hanim ilo yecha de sima et eno vahargo ba. Ava echa de sima et eno vahargo ba devar acher. So this is a different situation, because I might well have thought that, you know what, there is a difference between cases, because essentially What if you shoot someone, let's say, through an eye? You know, you stab someone in his eye, you take out his eye, and he ends up dying from the wound, okay? So therefore, I need to know that even though I know the din from Imlo Yason, I might have thought that that's only in a case of Hechad Simet Eino, and he did it with the same act. So in that case, if with the same act he is chayev for, let's say, blinding the person, so he'd be chayev for Nezek, and he also kills him, so that's where it says Imlo Yason. But what about if he does two completely different things? He's Misameet Eino with one hand, and he kills him with another hand. So maybe those are two different Maisim. So I would say, Nishko Mamon, I mean, hey, maybe we could over there be Machayev and Mamon as well. And that's why we need for the extra case of the Lotikru and the Kocherin. Or Marley Rov, excuse me. I know that also from the Tana de Vechizkia, but it's a different price of the Tana de Vechizkia, namely, when it says Ayin Tachat Ayin, that teaches us that this was a primary limud, that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon. One of the derech that we know that Ayin Tachat Ayin means Mamon, and not literally, is because if you literally would take Ayin Tachat Ayin, you may well end up killing the guy by taking out his eye. So you might cause an infection or whatever, right? I mean, it's very, very reasonable to suppose that doing something so drastic would actually cause his death. So from there we learned that it's only an ayin tachat ayin and not an ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. But meanwhile, that teaches us that that still is true. Because it means if you're going to pay for the ayin tachat ayin, so then if that's the case, you cannot also be mechayev misa and payment for the ayin tachat ayin. So therefore, I don't need an extra pasuk. So I still don't understand what the point is. Oh, says Rav Ashi, I'll tell you. I need an extra pasuk to tell me that in the case of knas, now this is something we entertained before, remember? Rabba actually made a distinction between our cases of knas, where there is also a chiev of makas. So now the question is, maybe, and we applied that even to cases of misa, because the whole idea of being inclusive in terms of kam lebit rabba mine is if something is an actual standard mamon. But if something is like a chiddush, a gzeres hakosav, I want you to pay this, that wouldn't necessarily fall under the normal dinim of what would subsume that chiyuv, correct? Therefore, so now Rav Ashi says, gufa, to tell me that the din is, that it is included, that's why I need extra pasuk. Salka da techamina. Oh, yeah, v'chidushu shechicha teira biknas. So in a case where someone would be chayev knas and it doesn't make any sense that we're making him pay this because he never did anything, whatever, he did something that causes him to pay five times as much from, he's giving a sharp, I don't get it. He took a shor, so he should pay five shors. So I would have thought that afagav the miktel mishalim. Therefore, the Torah's gufa coming to tell us that no, the din is that you should not. And therefore, there is no chiyev in, there is no din of saying specifically that there should be a chiyev in cases of knas. But wait a minute. Abaya, that's great, but remember, Rabba holds exactly the opposite. Rabba holds that really the din is that chidishu shechicha Torah b'knas, and therefore afagav the miktel mishalim, he does actually have to pay the knas. So what's he going to do with the extra pasuk of kol cherim in Adam? Lo yipadeh. Oh, man. And look, there's only one solution for this. He obviously holds like the Tana Kama, okay? Remember, you're trying to discover, according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, and you said, since Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya holds that someone is Mechayev himself to pay the erech of a person who is Chayev Misan, is on his way to being killed in Pesta, It's he and only he, only Reb Chananya ben Akavya, who says, no, you are chayiv, so you can't learn that the pasuk is telling me that there's no chiyuv of tashrum in lo yipadeh in that case. So that's why we're really racking our brains to figure out, okay, so then what is it coming? But you can't ask a kasha on Rabbah, well, what's Rabbah going to do with the pasuk? And probably Rabbah learns the pasuk like the Tanakama, that the simple meaning of the pasuk is, if somebody goes in and says, erko alai, and he's on his way to being killed in Bezdin, Chiddush is, he doesn't have any erech. Even though erech is not something that's dependent on market value, because the Torah assigns the value, nonetheless, this is a Chiddush of the pasuk, kol cherem, asher yechoram, that he's on his way to being killed in Bezdin, lo yipadeh. Which brings us to Dak. But the problem is that Dak is not at the Dak. What are we going to do? We can get Akiva, maybe, and Naftali to gang up on Daf. Oh, we even got Ari. We could get Doc back in. It's unlikely that he's seeing patients at this hour, right? So probably it's just that big Malava Malka that's taking up his energies. So it would make him feel really good if we called him and told him we need him for the Zuck the Halakha Mishnah, no? But I don't know. Well, I suppose so. I suppose so. But listen, we've got a wonderful Yiddish speaker. And I mean, we got a special accent. You know, we've been used to all this Litvish shtuyot. We got a real Halakha Mishnah coming up from the Halakha Rebbe. How do you like that? Give it to us, Halakha Rebbe.
Oh, but when are we going to hear Rebbe himself say that?
Beautiful. You wouldn't want to switch that for me. So now we're going to move on to some other interesting issues that are introduced with what appears to be just like a side point. However, this represents the first time that we're really getting into another aspect of the way that the Torah is taking care of women. Now, remember that the taking care of women, as we saw, begins with the inyan of a child and a nara in terms of enes, pitui, and so on. And over there, whatever it is that accrues to her because of these damages, in most cases, will go to the father. So we view that sort of as, okay, so he gets the rights to the tashlumin. But that's not really the point. The point is, as we already saw from the sugya of nedarim, which is surprisingly part of Nashim because of this, as we saw that the sugya of Nidorim is fundamentally part of the, alone, you're falling asleep, is part of the way that a father and a husband are shomer their relationship with a woman, right? So that's the whole parsha of Matot, of this has been Ureha Beta Via, and this is the question of Nidorim that Rabbeinu Levina and Ishal Dad Ba'ala no Deret, and all of those sugyas that are part of Nedarim, there's also a Kol Shevach Ne'urim that goes to the father, which includes the fact that the father can find her a husband, can marry her off, and so on and so forth. All of those dinim ultimately lie behind the fundamental question of Masechet Ketuvot, which is essentially the Shevach Ne'urim, because it's talking about the Mohar HaBetulot. And this is where we got the whole idea of ketuvah from, possibly, or at least it's an asmachta that we had as a machlokas. But in any event, all of these multiple leveled relationships are part of the unique situation that applies to a female as opposed to a male. And so therefore we begin sort of easily, because remember that these halachas of knas that apply to the Eines Umafata are not simply dinim in a woman. They are dinim in a vulnerable woman. Vulnerable because of her age. So she's young. She's only a Nara, possibly a Ketana. We had that machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Meir, whether there's Knas also for the Ketana. But in any event, the Torah is more makbid in these cases, so that even though she's still in Rishus Aviyah, and the Aviyah is the one who's going to collect, but this is the way that we protect her future. So in a case where a Nahara was actually Mu'ureset, And then she got divorced before she ever had relations with the guy. She never went to the chuppah. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Ein la knas. There's no knas. We'll see his reasoning comes from the pasuk. Now, obviously, we already know that our Mishnah doesn't buy into that. How do we know that? Because we just had the case of where someone is going to sleep with his brother's wife. We had like a bunch of cases, remember? He's going to sleep with women that there's no chiyav of misa, but they're his brother's wife, or all the other cases of where she's married. If she's married, there is a chiyav of misa. So obviously, those cases are that she was only me'ureset, and then she got divorced, or the guy died, whatever, right? That's got to be the case. So then that, and it says over there that she does actually get a knas. So what Rabbi Yossi is saying is definitely not correct according to the Mishnah. The Mishnah that we had right before this, the words in this Mishnah, say that she does get a knas. So obviously that is not going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because none of those words would make sense. We had a bunch of cases over there, Eshet Achiv, Eshet Achi Aviv. Those cases are all Yeshlem knas. So that's going Aliba, Rabbi Akiva, whom we are about to read. What's Rabbi Akiva? Hold, Rabbi Akiva says it's not true. She does get a knas. The only thing is, she keeps the knas herself, rather than giving it to her father. Now, this is not because an arusa has gone away from the rishus of her father, because she has not. Only a nesua goes out of the rishus of her father. So there's got to be some other very foundational issue about the relationship of erusin to the concept of knas, particularly, that explains both the anomaly of Rabbi Akiva's approach here and Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi is taking it even further. He's saying, b'chlal, there's no knas. Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, there is knas, but it's a different knas in that it goes to her. So let's try to understand what the logic is in Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So my time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, well, it says in the pasuk, asher lo orasa. Doesn't it say beferish that if a guy, kimsa ish na'ara betula asher lo orasa. Now, what is the meaning of asher lo orasa? I mean, it seems to be saying that in the event that she was orasa, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean she's currently orasa, because then he would be chayav misa for sleeping with her. So when it's saying asher lo orasa, it must be saying that she never was married to anyone even before the chuppah. Ha'orasa, the whole din of knas doesn't apply, says Rabbi Yossi. I mean, you can't say it more plainly than that, can you? So the same way that she has to be a betula, she also has to be asher lo orasa. I don't understand how else you're going to read the pasuk. And indeed, what will Rabbi Akiva do with that? Says Rabbi Akiva, now wait a minute. It's true, I agree with you 100%, that it is an absolute condition of the dinim in the pasuk that she not have been orasa. But the dinim in the pasuk are not only about knas. The dinim of the pasuk is natan la'avihanara. That's the part that doesn't apply. So if she was orasa, then we don't give la'avihanara. But we still have a knas. So ha'orasa latzma. And that's the way that I understand the Mishnah. Excuse me, I mean Rabbi Akiva, so like, why don't you say the same thing about the fact that it says a Nara? So maybe say, okay, if she's a Nara, then she gets a Knas and it goes to the father. And if she's 50 years old, she gets a Knas herself. I mean, it's exactly the same pasuk. I mean, you're picking and choosing. So you're saying one of the conditions in the pasuk, namely the fact that she was never Orasa, so that only defines the difference whether the knas goes to her or to the father. But it doesn't cancel knas completely. But the other part, a betula, maybe a bula gets a knas, except it goes to her. Maybe a nara, a bogeret gets a knas. I understand. I mean, you can't just choose one case. Elameata nara velo bogeret. So the bogeret will get her own knas, or she has to be a betula. Not a bula. No, that just means if she's a betula, then the father gets the knas. But if she's a bula, she gets the knas. I mean, come on, no ever heard of such a thing. There's no man d'amar in the world that ever came up with the idea that a 50-year-old bula is going to get a knas. It's nuts. So how come Rabbi Akiva can apply specifically these terms? Asher lo orasa, that is only a partial removal from the chiyuvim in the pasuk. Only the part about giving to the father. Rabbi Yossi Aglili makes much more sense. Over there, it means legamre. There is no knas. So why doesn't asher lo orasa also mean legamre? There is no knas. Or malacha Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you why. You're right, 100%. But there is a reason why asher lo orasa is different than the other things mentioned, namely the fact of her being a betula and or the fact of her being a nahara. It's very different. Because the asher lo orasa is in the pasuk for a completely different reason. It's only going to tangentially limit the pasuk, and it limits it, therefore, in only a small way. Because the real purpose of asher lo orasa is to create the fact that we have a din of a gezeira shava, as we'll see. So high lo orasa is actually needed for a different purpose, and that's why we can't use it to pater totally from knas. Here's the braita: asher lo orasa. Prat lenara shenitarsa v'nitgarsha she'in laknas, which is Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Akiva says again, yesh laknas. Now here he contradicts himself, and we're going to wait till we find out that there's two different tanoim alib to Rabbi Akiva. Right now we're going to let this pass. She does have a knas, and the knas goes to her father, and that makes sense. Why wouldn't it? Vadinotein hoil ve'avia zakai bekesef kidusha. The question of to whom the knas is paid should not relate at all to the status of the girl. It's just one of the things that a father has rights to that are monetary incomes from a situation of a nara. So the same way he takes the money for a kedushin, so over here where we're taking, somebody took her, so to speak, forcibly for kedushin, he should get that money. Same way he would have gotten the money by marrying her off. So it seems that that would make perfectly good sense. Okay. So ma kesef kedusha, afal pi shenitarsa v'nitgar shala via. Isn't it true that if she never was married, she was only mureset, we translate that engaged because there's no English equivalent, but we know that's not what it means, right? It means that there was real kedushin, but that she was never taken to a chuppah. So she's never consummated the marriage with him. So over there, if she is nitarsa to someone, and now she's mugureshet from the erusin, the father can remarry her to someone else, and he gets the kesef kedusha, as long as there was never any nisuin. So in the same way that that's true, so too kesef knasa, says Rabbi Akiva, afal pi shenitarsa v'nitgarsha, also goes lavia. So you'll ask me, but then why does it say beferish in the pasuk asher lo orasa, for heaven's sake? Im kein ma tamud lomar asher lo orasa. That is there in order to be an extra pasuk that is mufneh to create a gzeirah shava. Lahakish lo v'ladune menu gzeirah shava. What's the gzeirah shava? One of the earliest things that we discussed in the Masechet, the first time that we had it was on Daf Yud, when we spoke about the fact that we have two separate parshios, one of which talks about kesev yishkol k'mor habetulot, but it doesn't say how much kesev, but it does say yishkol. And then we have the other pasuk of ones v'natan lavia nara chamishim kesev, but it doesn't say what kind of kesev. Is that rubles, dollars, or shkalim exactly? So we don't know. So we learn one from the other. The chamishim that applies to an ones, we apply to a mafata. And the yishkol that applies to a mafata, we apply to the ones. And now we know that both of them pay chamishim shkalim. Just enough to buy Reb Barnea a good cup of scotch. Thank you. Fine. So ma'akan chamishim. Af la'alan chamishim, umala alan shkalim, just like the mafate shkalim, af kan in the case of ones, it's also shkalim. Hold on. You know, everybody's making a bunch of assumptions, and now after making the assumptions, now you're throwing at us as if like this is the only way to do things, okay? It's clear that This is very important to understand. The Tosis brings other examples of this. Normally, when we talk about Gzeira Shava, we have a Kabbalah of that Gzeira Shava, right? You can't make Gzeira Shava unless you were Makabo Miraba the Gzeira Shava. Now, normally those Gzeira Shavas are given in terms of words. And then we have to find a spot where we apply the word. However, there are certain places where the Gzeira Shava is given in terms of its result, but we're not sure what word it was that created that result. This is one of those cases. We know that the Chamishim and the Shkalim are put together. That is a Kabbalah. The basis of where the Torah was Meram is this, with the word that puts links those two parshas of Onus and Mefatah, that we don't know. So we're sort of making a guess at it. So it appears that Rabbi Akiva was making a guess that the correct word that would be applicable in both of these cases, that we would make the Gzeirah Shavah of the Chamishim to the Shkalim, that is, of Ones to Mefatah, is from the words Asher Lo Orasa that occurs in both parshas, right? Asks the Gemara, but how does he know that? I mean, you're using the fact that Asher Lo Orasa is obviously the source of the Gzeira Shava in order to explain to me why it's not definitive of the Knas, right? Well, maybe those weren't the correct words. How do you know that Asher Lo Orasa is the word of the Gzeira Shava and the word Betula is an absolute condition in the entire Parsha, which is Lemu'ute Be'ula, say the other way around? I mean, you're saying that some of these words are not definitive. They're there in order to make the Gzeira Shava. So why not say that the word Betula is there to make the Gzeira Shava? It appears in both Parshias, the Befata and the Ones, and the Asher Lo Orasa is definitive. And if, in fact, she had been engaged ever and then divorced, so then there would be no Knas at all, like Rabbi Yossi is saying. So how does Rabbi Akiva explain himself by taking for granted something that we don't even know is true? He doesn't even know it's true. So why does he think that it's got to be this way? Well, says the Gemara, because, I mean, it's only reasonable, mistabra, that the word Asher Lo Orasa is more likely to be there to allow us to make the Gzeira Shava than it is to define the nature of where Knas appears. Why? Because at least that way I can call her a Nara Betula.
What?
Again, you're making the assumption of your solution before as an answer to a problem that you haven't explained. God help us. Say just the opposite. Betula is more reasonable to apply as a Gzeira Shava because at least that way I can call her an Asher Lo Orasa. I'm like, you're still picking things out of a hat without explaining yourself. It's not out of a hat. Use your brains. Mistavra, look, which one does it strike you would be definitive of the situation? The fact that she is a Betula as opposed to a Bula, or that nobody ever accepted a ring in a ceremony? I mean, come on. There's no comparison. Obviously, if she is a Betula, then she's physically different than being a Bula. So over there, it makes sense to say that if Ishtane Gufa, she's got a different body now without Betulim. That different body makes more sense, would have a direct impact on what it is that you're going to pay for raping that body. But the question of whether once somebody had accepted a ring for her and then she got, I mean, that isn't reasonable to say that that should, I mean, it's exeris akosif, I understand. But it's not reasonable that it should be as definitive of the situation of the itchaivut, is it? Of course not. So therefore, if I know for a fact that one of these phrases is used as the exeris shava, which one do you think it is? The word nara, the word betula, or the word asher lo orasa? Obviously, the Asher Lo Orasa is sort of tangential, and that's the one that is used for the Gzeira Shava. That's the point. Anyway, getting back to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, okay, so he uses now these things as being definitive. So how does he know the fact that Chamishim means Chamishim Shekel and that the Shekel means Chamishim? So where did he get that from if he's not learning it from the word that Rabbi Akiva is learning it from? So what exactly is his mocker? Nafkele minitanya. That he says, this is the way we were learning it all along, by the way, if you recall. Every time we brought this up, we never brought Rabbi Akiva. We always brought the following limud. Kesef yishkol kimohar abetulot. So when we're talking about a mefate, we're saying that this guy, the guy who was mefate her, has to yishkol, has to pay out shkalim in the same amount that is usually given as the mohar of the betula. So what does this tell me? That sheheze kimohar abetulot umohar abetulot kazeh. So the Chamishim is the only place where we're told what a Mohar HaBetulot is. And therefore it's telling us that when it says Kesev, and it doesn't tell me how much, it's obviously referring to the Mohar HaBetulot in the case of a Ma'anes, because that's the only place where the Torah told us how the Torah views the particular Mohar of a Betula. And therefore, it's saying that these things are being compared, and that the Shkalim that are referred to over here in the Mefateh are the Chamishim of the Ma'anes, and the Ma'anes is Kesev, is the Shkalim here, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense, because Vishkol Kumar Betulot, obviously it's the same Pesachim. Fine. Hey, but what about the fact that Rabbi Akiva contradicted himself? I mean, in the Braita he says that the money goes to the father, and he brings like the whole Raya that is reasonable, it should go to the father after all. He has the schus to the kiddushin, so why shouldn't he have the schus to the knas, which is essentially taking the place of the kiddushin? But in the Mishnah, he said knas la'atzma, and that was the whole point of its mentioning the ashelo orasa. Well, obviously, you're not going to be able to answer that. There's trei tanoia, libe de Rabbi Akiva. As we often find, we have two different tanoim, both of whom are learning by Rabbi Akiva, and this is the way that they ended up understanding Rabbi Akiva. Well, I mean, but it has to make sense, doesn't it? I mean, Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah makes sense. Because, I mean, what we said in the Mishnah is that it does say in the Pasuk, Asher lo orasa, and the only thing is that we're going to limit the meaning of Asher lo orasa to describe a condition when it goes to the father as opposed to going to her, instead of its being a condition in the entire idea of a knas. Okay, well, that made sense, because that way we preserve the simple meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk still means what it says. Asher lo orasa is very important in determining whether these dinim apply. Which dinim? That's a different question, but whether these dinim apply. Okay, but the way Rabbi Akiva is learning in the Braita, I mean, it's very weird. It would be as if the Torah is writing in the middle of a story, you know, so you're saying, Nara, Bitula, who drives a red sports car, and then the din is, drives a red sports car? No, I only said that because the red appears here and the red appears there, and therefore you just need to know about the red sports car. That's ridiculous. It's got to mean something, doesn't it? It's got to have some application to the simple meaning of the pasuk. You can't just throw in a red sports car in two sugyas and say, oh, so now we have a gzeresh of here it says red sports car and here it says red sports car. I mean, okay, so, but what's the meaning of the red sports car? So the way we learn it in the Mishnah, there is meaning to the red sports car. Namely, that if she drives a red sports car, so then it goes to the father. But if not, it goes to her. Okay, I understand that. But if you're telling me it doesn't mean anything, then it's crazy. So why does it say it? You're telling me that in the case of Rabbi Akiva and the Braita, that we can have the use of words that are there purely for gzeirah shavah that has no simple pshat whatsoever. You don't think that's a little ridiculous? Mafke mi pshate legabre? But it doesn't have any meaning? That doesn't make sense. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, no, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have. The point is that you have to understand the pasuk as saying Asher lo orasa means that she is not currently orasa. She is not currently an arusa. Well, obviously she's not currently an arusa. What the heck's wrong with you? If she was currently an arusa, it would be a chayim misa. So of course it wouldn't be any knas. I don't need a pasuk. We just had 20 psukim that told me all of that. Can't believe now you got another pasuk. Now we have pasuk number 10 in the list of the pasuk we're going to have to explain. Of course it's not. It's a pshita. She's a bat skila. Ah, but I'll tell you, Because I might have thought that even though she's a Batskila, since we're talking about Knas, that same svar again. This third time that we've had this svar. We've had Rab apply this svar, and Abai apply this svar in the previous Gemara, and now we're applying it again. If it wouldn't have said Asher lo aras, I mean Asher ena arusa, so you might have think of a chidush or shechitcha Torah b'knas. So maybe since it's not a normative chiyav, it would be afagav the miktav mishalem. So he has to pay it even though he's chayav misan. There would be no din of kamli ben rabin minikam ashmalan. And of course, the same question presents itself. But then what about according to Rabbah? Rabbah actually holds that. Rabbah holds that a chiddush shechitcha Torah b'knas indeed, afagav the miktal mishalem. So what are you going to say according to him where that would actually be the truth? So then how does he understand Ashalo orasa? Look, it's the same point. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva has the Rabbah has the understanding of Rabbi Akiva as Rabbi Akiva is presented in the Mishnah, because he cannot justify an understanding of Rabbi Akiva the way Rabbi Akiva appears in the Braisa, because there's no meaning to the words of Ashalo Rasa. Fine. Okay. Tana Rabbana. So now, this has very much to do with what we just raised, because we're talking about sometimes the Knas going to her, and sometimes the Knas going to the father. So let's take a look in the Braisa. Knas Salami. Okay, so right now we're assuming Knas Salami is in the regular case. Who gets the Knas? Of a nara betula, la avia, the yesh omrim la atzma. Some say it goes to her. What? La atzma? What are you talking about? The Torah says beferish it goes to the father. La avia nara. How could anybody in his right mind say that it goes to her? That's impossible. No, says Rav Chisda. It's not impossible because there is a case where it goes to her, namely. And the two Lashinas are basically the two Lashinas of Rabbi Akiva. So Kamifu gave a pluk to the Rabbi Akiva as quoted in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Akiva as quoted in the Braita. Now another question. Omar Abai. Suppose Bo'e Aleha Vameta. Now we had this piece before, and we darshan it for the Pasuk, the way Abaya is now darshaning it, that in the event that the girl died before there was a chiyuv in Beis Din for him to pay the knas, then there is no chiyuv of knas. Patur. Why? Shenema v'natan la'avi ha'na'ara. Well, obviously, it's la'avi ha'na'ara. Who are we talking about over here? You just say v'natan la'aviya. The point is that we're repeating la'avi ha'na'ara to tell me she needs to still be a na'ara currently, and not if she's dead. V'lo la'avi meta. So if she dies before the psak halacha on the knas, there is no knas. I think we should call it a night and continue the sugya tomorrow, because it's going to go on for some interesting times. Okay, so basically we have made sense here of the lo yason, of kedei rishato, of lotikul kofer lenefesh rotzeach, of lotikul kofer lanus lor meklato, of lo oretz lo yuchupar ki im bedam shovcho, about the vatata v'erdam naki, about chere mina adam lo yipade, about kol chere mina adam lo yipade, about make adam, make behema. All of these are essential in order for us to get a clear picture of the interrelationship of different chiyuvim. And obviously we need to include, now that we've seen the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the question of im kofer yushat alav with gam ba'alav yumat, because that is now a very important touchstone in the understanding of chiyuvim and buying your way out of those chiyuvim. So that is a very broadening experience, I hope, very exciting. And we'll go on, Bezrat Hashem, should be zocha to meet tomorrow morning. Kol tov, I hope you all had a wonderful Shabbos Nachamu. And, well, you know, I was hoping for better, but okay. It's a good start. What's that? Inei El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad. Indeed. Don't forget that whole Parsha, Yeshayo, because it ends up with the whole beautiful Nechama for Tzion.